Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Mike Claiborne, proof that Street & Smith, another failing publication. Yeah, I mean, look, if you know anything about Mizzou football, you saw Phil Bradley play, you'd have to have him in the top, yeah, maybe the best. He was so good.
Yeah, he is a top five Mizzou all-time player.
By the way, I didn't mention this. Barry Odom's office is as close to Blake Carrington's office on Dynasty that I've ever seen. In fact, he has a little terrace outside, Martin. He opens up the door, and it just looks out at the field. I mean, it's just, wow.
And would he even, let's see, he's early 40s. Would he even get Frank and Martin's Dynasty references at this point? It's amazing. So. The kids we know don't. Did we get a Booch's report? I noticed Frank didn't bring a box for down
well,
back
because
here.
We ran late, we had to cancel the food picks.
Yeah.
So we went to Zaxby's on the way back with Stasiak, and he liked it. It was good. Have you ever been to Zaxby's?
I have not. I didn't know we had that in the state.
I knew that was Zaxby's.
That's SEC country.
Yeah. No, I don't. I'm more of a Raising Cane guy anyways. I don't know if they're comparable.
I'd put it below Raising Cane's and certainly below Chick-fil-A. But it was solid.
But once Mizzou joined the SEC, I think it was required that they add a Zaxby's in the Columbia area.
Yeah, good point. All right, let's welcome the commish to the program. Rick Hummel, good to be with you, commish. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Matt. How are you?
Very good. Okay, you can have one pitcher for the next 5 years, Dakota Hudson or Jack Flaherty. Who do you go with? You can't hedge.
I'd go with Hudson. I've got to go on what I've seen so far, and Hudson's got 10 wins and Flaherty has 4. Now, Flaherty's pitched great the last 3 times, but Hudson looks as if he's capable of going deeper into games if he has to. Like yesterday was terrific. He had pitches to play with too. He only had 84 pitches when he went out. Flaherty might have 84 pitches in the 4th or 5th inning. He's got great talent. But Hudson's got a winning record, and Flaherty does not. So that's why I make that decision right now.
It is funny how wins don't matter in this new analytics age.
They do to the commish.
Right, but if you're looking at it, Flaherty hasn't had a win in 2 months. Some of that is his fault. Some of it's not his fault. But if you also looked at the last 2 months, who's given you the winnable starts? Hudson has given you a lot more winnable starts. And, oh, by the way, he happens to have more wins. I think it still is a barometer as to how well a guy's pitched.
Well, especially considering the fact that in the struggles the Cardinals had for 6 to 8 weeks before the last 2 weeks, Hudson was about the only starter who was winning. Occasionally Wainwright. Hudson started off poorly when they were playing great. He wasn't getting any wins right away. He's piled up his 10 most of the time when they weren't playing all that well.
Who does he remind you of? I mentioned today, and I know it's a big leap faith here to suggest Mike Mussina, but he has that kind of calm demeanor, even looks like him. Everything's really steady. Who have you seen, Mike, over the years that Hudson kind of reminds you of?
Well, he reminds me of Bob Tewksbury, but with better stuff.
Okay. I'm glad you said that.
but Tewksbury could throw a pitch where he wanted to. He had a slider and a sinker, and he pitched fast, and he didn't use a lot of pitches in doing so. Now, Tewks wishes he could throw 95 or 97, but he couldn't. That's where I equate here. I don't know. Nobody else comes to mind, but the Hudson's going to be a big-time star in this game.
Commish, I think the quotes from John Mozeliak talking to Dan McLaughlin the other day about the trade deadline and a left-hander for the bullpen, it sounds like, and they could always be saying one thing, doing something different, that their deadline deal will be some sort of minor tweak. Do you have any insight or idea now that they've won a little bit and the race is even tighter? Do you think they'll alter that plan? What's your anticipation for a move at the deadline?
Well, I think they'd like to get another starting pitcher and another reliever. Now, the reliever would have to be left-handed. They have a zillion right-handed relievers. They're fine there. They have only Miller of veteran substance left-handed in the bullpen. Webb did well the other night and done well most of the year, but I don't know if they count him on as their second guy. They really have somebody else, I think. I still kind of like the Mike Minor from Texas as a starter. Now, the starting pitching market is pretty thin if you don't include Bumgarner in there, and I don't think he's in there right now the way the Giants are playing. Greinke is the the plum, if you could somehow get him and not have to pay all that $100 million he's owed for the next this season and the next two, that's a guy to go after. That's the one real ace that's out there. Maybe he and Bumgarner and Marcus Stroman of Toronto, who's got a real good ERA this year despite a 4-1 loss record. I still think they need the starting pitching more than the bullpen, but when you get to the playoffs, the bullpens are what wins championships. The starters barely go more than five innings in the play. Even when the really good teams take them out after five or six. So that's where you want to buttress yourself a little bit, if you can, is the bullpen.
So Greinke's in the middle of that, I think it's 6 years, $205 million contract, something like that.
$33 million a year for two more years, plus the remaining one-third plus of this one, which is, you know, that's a pretty big number there.
Okay, so the Cardinals can certainly afford it. And I'm wondering, if you do pick him up because you're picking up that contract, let's just say the Diamondbacks say, no, you have to take the contract. I imagine you wouldn't have to give up much to get him, right? I mean, if you're willing to pick up the rest of that contract, you wouldn't have to give up that many great players to get him.
You wouldn't have to give up Carson Kelly and Luke Weaver to get him, let's say, for instance.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he's a sign you're taking that financial obligation off them. Now, they don't know what to do either, probably, because they're right there with everybody else pretty much in the wild card race. So the division's over, and the Giants and Arizona are playing for second place. And everybody else in the wild card race is kind of angling toward the championship. You know, the Phillies still think they have a chance to win in Washington, Cardinals, Milwaukee. But the Diamondbacks and Arizona and San Francisco have only second place to play for. And if that's enough, then they're probably going to have to keep cranking.
Commish, you've been doing this a long time. Make out the lineup. Who hits leadoff for this team? And then get into the Matt Carpenter return. What would you do with him? How short would the leash be once he gets back?
Well, when Edmund plays, he leads off. And I kind of think when Carpenter plays, he leads off. There might be a platoon there for a while. I can see Edmund playing against left-handed pitchers. You can't not play him. Munoz will get his time, although we know that Munoz, given two starts the last 2 days, has gone hitless. So this is not going to the Hall of Fame just yet here. So there's a way to use Carpenter, but you don't have to use him every day. And if he doesn't perform, you don't have to use him any day. But he deserves a chance to play if healthy and to see, okay, what do we got here? I'd give him a couple weeks anyway. And then with Edmund playing some at third base, maybe even some at second base.
But you'd give him a couple weeks? What if he comes up for a week? And if he's bad for a week, I realize that the guy's been here a long time and has a resume, but I wonder how anxious Schilt will get. You think it's loyalty, or do you think they just don't have great options?
Well, you have to define bad first. I mean, if he gets on base, at least, if he starts walking more, that would help. And that's what he did as well as anything else, was walk when he was playing well. You don't have to make him get three or four hits the first time out, or even multiple hits in several games in a row. You do need to see him getting better swings, not striking out as much, and walking more. He's a good player still. And I think good players ultimately reach some sort of level. Now, he's not going to hit 36 home runs. He's not going to drive in 81 runs. He's not going to hit 275 or 80. But I don't think he's going to hit 215 either.
So what does he have to do in Memphis to come back up? Or is it like, look, you're going to get 12 at-bats in Memphis and you're coming up? What if he's 1 for 12? Or what if he's 0 for 12 with 4 or 5 strikeouts? Do you say, okay, it's time for you to come on up?
No, I don't think so. Not if he's 0 for 12 with 5 strikeouts. If he's 0 for 12 with 8 or 9 hard-hit balls, that's different. And last night I see he was 0 for 2 with a walk. So that's one game. Let's see him play tonight. Let's see him play tomorrow. Ideally, you'd like to have him for Friday's series with the Astros, but you don't have to. You've been playing without him for 2 weeks, and they've been doing fine. So there's no rush. He comes up when he's ready to come up, and he'll know. It was his idea to go down, so he gets a little say in this. If he thinks he's ready, then you got to bring him back.
Do you think Matt Wieters has warranted a little more playing time, even when Molina comes back? Do you see Wieters getting more starts than he was earlier this year?
Oh, sure. I know there are bigger fish to be fried here, but I wouldn't mind the Cardinals exploring some conversations with him before we get too far along about some sort of extension. I'd like to have Wieters back for another year or two as a backup or whatever it takes. I mean, he's not going to be regular player when Yadi's here, but let's say Yadi does retire after next year. Well, let's say you get Wieters on a 2-year deal. Maybe he's your guy. He's not a young player either, And he also might think he can play somewhere else regularly. He may explore that free agent market to find out, but I'd like to have him back.
Yeah, I mean, if he has twice as many home runs as Yadi in less than half the at-bats as Yadi, it's a pretty impressive run for a backup catcher. Hey,
He's throwing guys out stealing, too. He's got 6 out of 13, 6 out of 12.
I don't know if I completely buy this, but when I look at Washington and I see that, you know, Strasburg's got 13 wins and Scherzer's the best pitcher on the planet Earth, and then I look at the top four hitters in their order with Turner, Eaton, Rendon, and Soto, I just think Washington's better than the Cardinals. Do you think, Commission, it's going to come down to this? Washington's going to get that wild card, and that second wild card is going to come down to the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers. And the bottom line is they have to finish better than one of those two teams to make the playoffs, because I don't believe in Arizona and San Francisco. How do you see that?
I wouldn't rule the Phillies out. They're right there with Washington, too, and they played Washington a bunch more times yet. So I don't know who the – let's see what kind of hell Scherzer is in here. He's had a little shoulder issue here now, so maybe he's not quite the same automatic guy that we've seen before. If he is, Washington is the absolute one team you do not want to play in a wild card game. They got three different guys they can throw at you, Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin. One game is going to be tough to win from them. You might beat them in 5 or 7, but one's going to be hard.
And, Commish, Marcell Ozuna, timetable here, getting him back?
I guess we'll find out more Friday. I haven't heard anything. I would like to believe that in the next week or 10 days he'd be playing. That would be almost, pretty close to a month at that point. It will be a month. He got hurt right at the end of June in San Diego. So I got to think by the end of next week he's playing, and Molina too, hopefully.
Good stuff, Commish. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys.
He was brought to you by Lakeside Roofing, established in 72. Solid rep for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. People taking shots at Barry Odom on the text lines. We'll get to those when we come back.